The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but usually put a smile on your face because they're funny and they're cute, and every once in a while we need funny and cute. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. The way things are going, I'd say by the end of the week. Oh, well, maybe longer, but I'm just saying, by the end of the week, he'll be here. Okay, but maybe longer. It's just the way the things are going. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use? Probably won't, but we can if we decide to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Good question. Also, a Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Going through that process, being somebody who wakes up in the morning and recognizes you are a child and a servant of the Most High God. And that's how your day should start. In fact, we encourage people to do a 10-second prayer. Lord, here I am. Use me. Every single morning. And so we go through that process and many things take place in normal occurrence of life. But we are still required by the Lord to exhibit a Christ-like character. So what we do on this show is try to encourage you to get there just a little bit more, one step at a time, as we fellowship together and try and encourage one another as we see the day approaching. If you have a thought, a question, if you have a comment, if you have an opinion, we encourage you to share that. We don't want it to die of loneliness. Our goal here is to encourage one another, strengthen one another. Maybe you have a praise report, perhaps a prayer request. We have people who listen in this audience every single day, much more than people are aware of, and they become intercessory prayers, people that pray for these petitions until they get resolved. And that's a great way for the body of Christ to function. Now, you might have an answer to trivia. We'll get to that, obviously, in the next segment, or anything else that's going on. You know, some people like to share what God is doing in their lives. It gives them strength and courage. We will not try to make fun of anybody except myself. I do a pretty good job of that on a regular basis. So if you are, by the way, going to try and answer trivia and you're not sure, it's okay. We'll get you there. That's part of what we do. What you can do is reach out to us and call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that phone call, Terrific T will answer the phone, and that'll be terrific. You can also text us live, because you can't text us if we're taped. So you got to text us live, like now. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. And then you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Comes right to my $1.19 Chromebook sitting right here on the desk. We encourage you to check out hemustincrease.org very simply because there's encouragement on there. There's video and there's audio and there's pictures and there's a few statements and a goofy thing. There's even a kitchen sink. There really is. But also that's a place where you can give. And we encourage you to do that. Be a giver if the Lord puts that on your heart. Please check out hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. So you have that opportunity as well. I am going to open up with a word of prayer for everybody in the audience, if you don't mind. Then we'll get into our teaching. I think we were in Psalms, so we're having some fun there. But let's pray real fast as people are listening. Father, we come before you right now, and there is a hurriedness that many people have. It is all of us trying to control your plans, your will, the things that you've set before us in this life. And instead of being in such a hurry and trying to run up just to stop and run ahead just to try and stop and get ahead, may we find a relaxing, yielding, surrendering heart and mind in you. Whatever is going on in this world, temporary, but our connection with you, eternal. So help us to dial it down and dial in to your presence and to your love and to your wisdom and to your grace and to your mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, there you go. So for some of you out there who are like going, Sammy Davis Jr., a personal friend of mine, just relax. Okay, all right. Got that? Okay. Let's get into the Psalms. We're going to do the Psalm first, and then and some people are going to really, you know, enjoy this, and some people, maybe not so much. But we are in Psalm. It is Psalm number 4, and we're going to be going from verse 5. It says this, offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Stop right there and take a quick review on what's being said by David as he's writing this psalm. One of the things he says is we should offer the sacrifice of righteousness. The sacrifice of righteousness will not save you in the context of salvation only comes through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, and there's not enough good works you and I could ever do that will make that difference or flip that over. Let me just give you the math. If you have sinned between the ages of 13, for men that's like the accountability in the Jewish culture, to the time you're 80, if you've sinned between 10 and 15 times a day, internal, external, otherwise, thoughts, words, actions, all throughout a day, you've sinned about 300,000 times in your life. So let's just be a little honest. You're not going to have 300,000 good works. Just come on. Plus, Just plus, the scripture says all our righteousness is as filthy rags before the eyes of God. So that kind of diminishes when we're doing good works in the sense that some of it's motivated for some reason, some for others. And, you know, only the Lord really knows what that is. Only the Lord knows how to cut that specifically. But what we are encouraged to do is offer our sacrifice of righteousness, do right things in the Lord as an honor unto the Lord. It's not going to save you, but it is going to communicate that you appreciate, love, receive, yield, enjoy, and desire to be connected to God, to be with God, to be closer to God. And in doing some of those activities, you're making a presentation, an offering that says, Lord, I love you. I don't do everything right. I don't do everything with the best motives, but I'm really going to try and offer you sacrifices of righteousness because of how cool you are to me, how much you love me, and how much I want to be connected to you and honor you. See, the Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, which every one of us loves and adores, talking about that faith that we receive this gift of salvation given by God through grace. We receive it by faith. It's a gift. It's not of ourselves. Nobody can boast. But the reason that comes together is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God ordained beforehand that we should do. those good works won't save you. But that doesn't mean you don't do them in honor of the Lord. No, those good works don't make you any more righteous than anybody else. But when we're doing those good things and offering those sacrifices of righteousness, we're doing it in such a way as to say to the Lord, we acknowledge you. We do this in honor of you. We know that we're not doing it perfectly. We know there's things in us that are just not as good as they need to be, but we do our best and bring it before you as a sacrifice, as an offering. We'll do our best to be our best before you and to represent you and to reflect you. None of this, by the way, ever happens apart from the Holy Spirit working inside of our lives, so you can't do it by yourself anyway, so let's just acknowledge that. And then David says this, after he says we should offer up sacrifices of righteousness and put our trust in the Lord, which is his way of saying those righteous things that we do, that's got to come from this connection between us and the Lord and this trust that we have. And then he says, there are many who say, who will show us any good? And he finishes with this, Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. People are like, well, where does any good really come from? Where's any standard of good? Is there anything that is really good? Yes. The Lord, his way, his truth, his power, his love, his blessings, he will show us good. And we can follow in that good. And it is in the light of that countenance that shines upon us that the Lord pours his self upon us, that we get to handle. All my goodness, Lord, does not extend beyond thee. It's all because of you. And those things that we want to do right, we should want to do right because we love him, not because we're super cool, overly spiritual, holier-than-thou people. It's because our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he sacrificed his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yeah, that's a good reason right there. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to understand. Bad news does not necessitate that there is nowhere else to go except to weep. In Psalm 112, verse 7, the scripture says, he will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord. It's not pie in the sky to look at the situation and go, gosh, it's terrible, but I'm going to hold hope because hope is the only thing I have to move past it. If it never comes about, that's fine. but I'm going to live every day believing that there's a better tomorrow. When people think of that, they think, "Oh, Christianity, it's a crutch. It's the opiate of the people," is what Karl Marx said. It takes more guts, more strength, more determination in this day and age to be a Christian and to stand in your faith than it does to be any other thing that there is, because it's the Christians who are under persecution, and it's the people of faith that are getting slaughtered, and, oh, by the way, throughout the world that's taking place. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, getting ready for our first trivia question. It is not extremely hard, but it is a little hard. Okay, little bit hard, little bit. Okay, here we go. Ready? On what two parts of the body will the mark of the beast be placed? On what two parts of the body will the mark of the beast be placed? For those that are sitting there thinking, I have no idea where that is, I will tell you, you can look in Revelation chapter 13 to get that answer. For those that are feeling much more confident, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Straightforward question. On what two parts of the body will the mark of the beast be placed? There you go. In the meantime, you want to do DNA? Well, we can do a quick DNA real quickly. Now, just keep in mind DNA. So there's actually a lot of churches, being in the academic, collegiate, PhD, doctorate group, there's just like all these people have all these really serious DNA things. And ours is like goofy. We're just like, yeah, I don't think we think that way. I'm just not going to do it that way. We just kind of chill. Our DNA is what we think we should be operating in every day. Spiritual DNA is not like human DNA. Human DNA leads us to sin. Spiritual DNA leads us to the Lord. This is what we start with. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily, which means you have an intimate relationship with God, that he's not some foreign gas that lives on Pluto. That you actually have a living relationship with a living God. Draw closer to the Lord daily. That's the D. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Even the stuff you don't fully comprehend, believe me, if he created the universe, he can write a book. Take a deep breath. It's going fine. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve, because service is a key in expressing your appreciation for the Lord. So you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You love your neighbors. You love yourself. First you love God, then that love flows through you, and you are a vehicle then to love other people. You got to love up and down first before you love across. And so it's not hard. They're connected, but you got to start with the Lord and be that vessel, that vehicle, and be somebody who loves other people. There you go. That's it. That's all. All right, do we have somebody that's ready to answer the trivia question? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. It's Sam. How are you?
Good, my brother. How are you doing?
Very good.
Okay. This is a classic, and most people know this right off the bat. What two parts of the body will the mark of the beast be placed on?
It's a forehead and the right hand, right palm.
That is correct. The right hand. That's going to work. Now, let me ask you this, just a quick follow-up. Do you know why it's the forehead and why it's the hand, what they symbolize?
Well, I think it's easy to scan in a modern technology.
let me give you this simplistic view. The forehead are all the things that are in our mind, our thinking, and the hand, the right hand, are all the things that we set ourselves to do. So it all has to do with all the things that we consider and embrace and go through our left and right ear, and then everything we set our hands to. Oh, that's a good one, huh? That is good. I like that. Are you doing good?
Yes. I have a question, and I know it's a very complicated. Where you stand, like regarding once saved, always saved?
Yeah, I love that question, and I really don't have a problem with that. It's how it's asked that is the key. So let me just say this real quickly. The problem with the way that once saved, always saved is there's an assumption that if a person says yes one time, that means that they're genuinely saved. And I don't believe that's accurate in Scripture. I think what Scripture teaches is that Christianity is saying yes to Jesus continually through your life. Now, that salvation is not an earned, it's given by grace, but you can't just step in, say, hey, that sounds great, I'd like fire insurance, say, here's your policy, and then step out and never follow again, never obey again, never pursue again. That would be an inaccurate definition of somebody who's a follower of Jesus. A follower of Jesus might not be at the same pace as other people. They might at all different times and all different ways, but it's not a person who says yes once and then just abandons and never yields again. It's got to be that you believe. It's a continual belief. So when the Scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, one and begotten son, that whosoever believeth, and that is the big part. It's the continual action of believing. That person is saved. But a person who says, yeah, I believe, and now I'm going to rob a bank, that's not so much. See what I'm saying?
And what about that Presbyterian teaching, like a predestination, like you are already predestined, so...
Another big question, but here's the thing. Even if you are predestined, you don't know it. Only God does, and he's not telling.
Oh, okay. So do we need to chuck that tulip somewhere in a...
Oh, well, you can enjoy checking it. No, no, you can enjoy it. I think it's accurate. I just think what happens is there's a divine perspective and a human perspective, and people are always focusing on the wrong perspective. God knows what's going on. We don't. And so we need to pursue and make sure. But the Lord knows because he's omniscient. So he knows all things. So that makes it a little easier. But I got one thing I would say to you, especially for those that have a lot of question. Like I've come across many, many people, and these are genuine, sincere believers. And they'll say to me, you know, sometimes I get concerned and I'm worried or I'm concerned that maybe I'm not saved. And maybe I'm not like doing enough or having enough activity and so on and so forth. And my response, while some scholars will throw darts at me and that's okay, my response is if you are genuinely concerned on whether you are saved or not, you're saved because the unsaved don't care. And so they don't ask. But the saved people are like, I want to make sure I'm saved. I want to make sure I'm doing it right. And it's like, that's a evidence or a testimony that Jesus is in you and drawing you in. And really what's going on is he's just drawing you in more at that moment. And that's why you're thinking, I got to make sure I'm on track here. You know, it's like that's the pull. That's part of that growing in the Lord. The other part of that are people who are genuinely not saved could care less. They don't care.
Oh, okay. Good.
Hey,
I wonder, do you have any teaching on that subject, once saved, always saved?
I don't have anything other than what we've done in the show. Like, I've never written anything because I'm just so bad at writing. But I will tell you that it's important to understand, you know, like that principle I share with you. And it is in different shows. I will do a little bit of research for you and see if I can get you some identity on some of our shows where we kind of go into it in depth. But all you got to do really is think about that John 3:16 passage and recognize that word believe, he that believes, is a continual action of believing. And if you don't continually believe, therein lies the problem.
Yeah, I think what I see, like people like, as you always use the fire insurance analogy, like that's people are, it seems like people are, oh, yes, I want to accept Christ so that I'll be locked in for eternity, but that's not the Scriptures
correct.
Teaches us.
That's correct. And not only that, but then there's a group of people that'll say, I'm going to do the deathbed pullout. I'm going to do everything I want to do, and then in my deathbed, I'm going to pull it out. Here's the problem with that, and people aren't going to like this, but God gives you so many opportunities, and he even says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. There are some people that have been saved at the deathbed, but there are many more who have not been. And so it's like, why would you even remotely consider that gamble that will happen? What if you're not even able to make that call because of how it happens? It's just like so stupid. Yeah, it's like, wow, that's crazy.
Like a highway crash.
Yeah, like a highway crash. You're not going to go, wait, I can't die yet. I want to still do my deathbed confession. Like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's too late. Cool. Well, thank you so very much.
My privilege.
You are a real deal for the body of Christ to helping people. So I want to thank you and applaud you for what you're doing for the kingdom.
Well,
thank
I
you.
Appreciate that. Thank you, my brother.
Okay. God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And I do want to point out one thing as Samson is hanging up that you know, and Al brought this up. It's really good. That the Holy Spirit has to be a part of this. And that's right. You can't – I mean, this is not just, you know, through – the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. When it says baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the word name is singular. So it's seen as one. It's a one entity. It's the Fathers of the Sons of the Father, and the Spirits of the Father. It's all connected. And so when the Holy Spirit draws you in, it's real. Now, can people resist the Holy Spirit? Of course. Of course. But God knows who will and who won't. So that's all we're saying. All right. So we didn't really get to the teaching. Okay. But just fine. That's part of the fun of the show is that you get to do whatever we can do. I will tell you this one thing and we'll do it next week. The next verse I was going to talk about had to do with God putting gladness in our heart. A lot of people go around, spend their life trying to put their own gladness in their own heart. And have you ever noticed how lame that turns out to be? But if God puts gladness in your heart, it lasts forever. So we'll deal with that next week. We'll kind of talk about that and get into it. In the next segment, I've got some very challenging portions. So you have been warned. And I love you. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
And that hope that is offered to us is something that's supposed to greatly encourage us. Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And by faith in the testimony of God, you can live forever. That hope is offered to us. If that hope is offered to you and you have not yet accepted, acknowledged, and surrendered to it, I ask you to do so right this second. I don't even care if you do a fancy prayer. Just say, God, save me in Jesus' name. You will be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, 3 days later he rose again, and you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, turning from where you were and turning to him, you will find life right now. You might be out there thinking, there's no way it can be that easy. Wrong, but you have to receive it. You have to surrender to it. You have to acknowledge God's testimony and say yes to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what your friends say. Doesn't matter what any other family member says. It only matters for your decision before God in regards to his testimony relating to Jesus Christ and your sins. And that's the hope that is offered to us. And we can be greatly encouraged by that. And that hope is an anchor to our soul. That anchor makes it so that even if the winds are heavy and the waves are intense, we don't get tossed and lost. That there is some stability, that there is some strength. And you can't be like those people that have no hope. All there is this life and there's nothing else. That's why they're trying to sin their brains out, because they don't think there's anything else left. But they're going to die and face God. And he's going to ask regarding his account that he's given in relationship to Jesus Christ. And they're going to have to answer. And if they have rejected, then they will be as they have placed themselves as people with no hope. But if you're a person that has not made that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ, make that decision right now.